This program was produced by and first broadcast on Community Radio Hamilton, a volunteer-based community access station. For more information, go to www.communityradio.co.nz.
Hello and welcome to Food for Thought on Community Radio Hamilton. You could be listening on 106.7 FM, 1206 AM, or online at communityradio.co.nz. You could also be listening to the podcast via iTunes and a variety of other podcast hosts. Today on the show, I'm mainly going to be talking about two things. The World is Vegan campaign, that was started by Professor Gary Francione. And I'm also going to be reviewing the BBC World Service Animals and Us broadcast by Victor Schoenfeld. Once I'm finished with that, I will be reading out a recipe for vegan shortcut pastry. To kickstart the show, I'm going to be playing a little bit of Weezer, whose band member Brian is vegan.
Special school, 'cause I am such a fool, and I don't need a single book to teach me how to read. Who needs stupid books? They are for petty crooks, and I will learn by studying the lessons in my dreams. So turn off the TV, 'cause that's what others see, and movies are as bad as eating chocolate ice cream. They only sicken me, don't let me play for ball. I'll sack the quarterback and jack the brother. Special guy.
That was Troublemaker by Weezer, and you are tuned in to Community Radio Hamilton, Food for Thought. For more information, check out fftradio.wordpress.com. Now I'm going to be talking quickly about the World is Vegan, If You Want It campaign. In 1969, which was right in the middle of the Vietnam War, two peace activists, their names were Yoko Ono and John Lennon, put up a billboard in Times Square. The billboard said, "War is over, if you want it. Happy Christmas from John and Yoko." Professor Gary Francione from abolitionistapproach.com suggests that we make our own billboard, a virtual billboard, that says, "The world is vegan, if you want it," to be a message of both empowerment and responsibility. It's meant to be a message of empowerment because to show that a vegan world is possible, it is within our power, it's something that human beings can do, that we are capable of, if only we want to. Just like ending the war was possible, something that could be done, something that humans were capable of, if only we wanted it. And it's also a message of responsibility. Because a vegan world is possible, and because many people are actively participating in non-vegan activities, it is our responsibility to go vegan and advocate veganism. The only reason that animal exploiters kill animals is because we demand animal products that have to be made by the killing and property status of non-human animals. Now, we can go after the suppliers as long as we want, but in the end, as long as there is a demand for a product, somebody will supply that product. Non-vegans are directly responsible for their deaths, and it is our responsibility to go vegan and to stop creating a demand for animal products. Just like with the Vietnam War, because ending the war was possible, it was the people's responsibility. Government or organizations were not going to end the war. In fact, the government profited from the war, so why on earth would they want to end it? And just like today, we need to recognize that no organization or government is going to make a vegan world. The government profits from animal exploitation, especially here in New Zealand where dairy farming is so huge. We must advocate against violence to non-humans. It is our responsibility to do so, because if we don't, no one will. As Gandhi once said, we must be the change that we want to see in the world. If we want a vegan world, then it is our responsibility to go vegan and educate others about ethical veganism. Now I'm going to be taking a quick break and playing some AFI, whose singer Davey and guitarist Hunter are both vegans. Right after that, I'm going to be doing a quick review of the BBC World Service Animals and Us broadcast.
For the scoop on Community Radio Hamilton's great range of access radio shows, check out this Saturday's Waikato Times. You'll find our latest program schedule, listing more than 100 programs by, for, and about our community, every week in the Waikato Times.
That was Girls Not Grey by AFI, and you are tuned in to Community Radio Hamilton, Food for Thought. For more information on Food for Thought, check out fftradio.wordpress.com. Now I'm going to be discussing the recent BBC Animals and Us broadcast. Basically, the gist of it is that Victor Schoenfield came back and did and had a review over if anything had changed in the past few decades over animals' treatment. So the show started with talking about factory farm conditions. Now, I've got no problem with talking about factory farming. I think it's a horrible thing that has to stop. But if we're going to do that, we must be very clear that factory farming is just one example of what happens when we treat animals as property. Now, later on this show, there was a little bit of stuff more aimed at veganism, and that was very awesome, and I'm going to be talking about that later. But in that area in particular, it would have been really good if someone had said that not just factory farming, but all farming is a moral problem. The issue is not treatment, but the fact that we're killing innocent animals. The next part I liked a lot more. Now, a lot of people think that vegans walk around craving bacon and that it takes a lot of self-sacrifice to be vegan, which all vegans know is not true, but it is an impression that a lot of omnivores have. Now, this segment scientifically proved those omnivores wrong. Basically, scientists put electrodes on the heads of a vegan, a vegetarian, and an omnivore. They then exposed them to images and smells of different foods, including meat. The results showed that both the vegetarian and the vegan reacted negatively to the aromas and images of meat. Victor Schoenfield and the scientists both agreed that this meant vegans do not walk around craving animal products. In fact, based on these results, there could be evidence that vegans are disgusted when they hear or, see or smell animal products, which I know from my experience is the case. Then they talked to free animal advocates from leading animal organizations. They talked to Gary Francione from the Abolitionist Approach, Wayne Pascal from HSUS, and Martin Bullock from VGT in Austria. Gary had the shortest time. Wayne and Martin got a lot more time, whereas Gary got about 30 seconds, but he still managed to handle the interview awesomely. And Victor Schoenfield finished off by saying, making it clear that even after these welfare reforms, animals are still often in factory farms, even though they may have a little bit more space. Lastly, they talked to a dietitian who is skeptical that no one would go vegan because even making small dietary decisions like giving up desserts is hard enough. So getting people to give up animal products, the core of their diet, would be impossible. Now, I think the distinction here is between health and ethics. In my opinion, I think ethical issues are a lot more convincing. Because if people want to eat unhealthy food, then that's their choice. It only affects them. There is no third party that suffers if one individual wants to eat unhealthy. However, ethics do affect a third party. Health affects only the individual. There is no third party. As the host said, this isn't about people and what's easy. It's about the animals. The non-humans who are suffering and dying for such trivial reasons as that we enjoy how their products taste or the way they look or feel. Now I'm going to be taking a quick break and playing a little bit of Taking Back Sunday, whose guitarist and backup vocalist Fred is vegan. Right after that, I'm going to be discussing the second part of the BBC World Service, which focused on vivisection.
You're listening to The Youth Zone on Community Radio Hamilton, sponsored by Youth Town, the place for physical, social and creative experiences. Youthtown is a non-profit organisation delivering quality programs, workshops and events for young people across New Zealand. Whether you want to learn new skills, make new friends or just have fun, Youthtown has something to suit everyone between 5 and 18 years of age. Youthtown, serving New Zealand youth since 1932. For more information, please visit youthtown.org.nz.
That was Liar, It Takes One to Know One by Taking Back Sunday, and you are tuned in to Community Radio Hamilton, Food for Thought. Today on the show, I'm talking about the second part of the BBC Animals and Us broadcast. This part is about animal testing. Now, right at the start, Gary Francione talked about the normality of animal exploitation and how it was unlikely that much is going to change so long as animal exploitation is considered as normal as breathing and drinking water. Then they talked to someone who used to test on animals, but has now changed his mind after seeing the animals suffering in laboratories and recognizing that there really isn't any moral difference between the dogs that he was cutting up and the dogs that he lived with in his home. And he also had problems with animal testing from a scientific point of view. He then talked about his boss's reaction when he said he wanted to do tests that did not use non-human animals. Basically, his boss did not react very well. Basically, from a scientific point of view, the biggest problem with animal testing, bear in mind this is just from a scientific point of view, not a moral point of view, is that there are quite a lot of biological differences between human and non-human animals. 90% of drugs tested on animals don't work on humans. Of the ones that do work on humans, half of them have serious negative side effects that could not be predicted through animal testing. And basically, they said that the reason that scientists refuse to give up vivisection is, even though it's scientifically inaccurate, is because they will fear that if they give that up, they will have to give up much more of the ways that they test products. And in a lot of ways, that is similar to, for example, the meat and dairy industries. They fight welfare reforms that are economically efficient for them. For example, the Humane Slaughter Act that was brought in quite a while ago in the United States. The meat and dairy industry fought against that, even though it was actually economically better for them, but they fought against it because then if they give in to that, then the public is going to expect them to give in to everything else. And there's quite a lot of sociology around that. And if you want to hear more about sociology about that, I would recommend listening to some of Gary Francione's podcasts. And also, just for general sociology, I'd recommend listening to Roger Yates. He does a podcast called On Human, Non-Human Relations. And it's a very good podcast to help understand these sort of issues. On it, they also talked to someone who was a government official in charge of the ethics behind animal testing. And he agreed that over 1 million animals in the United States alone have been tested on this year. And that's not even including rats, mice, and birds, who make up about 90% of all the animals tested on. The government does not demand that statistics are kept for the amounts of rats, mice, and birds tested on. The show finished on a very positive note by Gary Francione talking about the alternative to all this animal exploitation, which is veganism and rejecting the property status of non-human animals. Not going for half measures such as more humane versions, but rejecting the idea of animals as property, as economic commodities that can be exploited however the market sees fit. And I thought that it was really great to finish on the alternative to exploitation after a lot of the show was focused on the types of exploitation. Yeah, and if you want to know more about that podcast, broadcast, then I would really recommend listening to it. I'm going to include the links for both parts of the documentary in the show notes at fftradio.wordpress.com. Now I'm going to be playing a little bit of Alkaline Trio, whose drummer, Derek Grant, is vegan. Right after that, I'll read out a recipe for vegan shortcut pastry.
Sure, how quick your wig
That was Into the Night by Alkaline Trio, and you are tuned in to Community Radio Hamilton, Food for Thought. Now I'm going to finish off the show by reading out a recipe for vegan shortcut pastry. For this recipe, you will need 200 grams of flour, 125 grams of margarine, and either water or soy milk. Simply put the flour and margarine into a large salad bowl. Use your fingers to rub them in till the mixture looks like breadcrumbs. Add the water or soy milk little by little until you manage to form a dough. Knead the dough for a minute or two. Place the dough on a floured surface and roll it to the size and thickness you need. You can repair any small breaks and cracks with the bits of dough left. For a gluten-free pastry, you can use rice or buckwheat flour, both available at any health food store. If you're allergic to soy, you can also use rice milk, almond milk, or oat milk instead of the soy milk, or obviously you can just stick with the water. Now, if you're looking for margarines to use in this recipe, a great brand is Olivani, which is vegan margarine. Now, this recipe was from the Vegan Society of Ireland. You can learn more about them at veganplanet.org/veganireland.
For more episodes of this Community Access Radio show, visit www.communityradio.co.nz.
Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this program available through funding the Access Internet Radio Project. Cheers, New Zealand On Air.